Good morning, church. It's always a gift to be able to gather together in the presence of God, to worship Him, to open His Word, to allow Him to speak to us. Three things I want to share with you. First off, they were saying earlier when the worship team was rehearsing that it's probably like Josiah had an energy drink, and so he was just amped up. But when I went out back, I try and put my microphone out back, like on out back, because otherwise it just looks awkward as I'm doing this squirrely dance. And I don't dance. But when I went back there, I realized, in the guitar case, that they have guitar boomers. And not boomer, like, okay, boomer, but like guitar, like, apparently the guitar boomers is what was giving a little bit more amperage to the worship team this morning. Is that the secret? And now you can say, okay, boomer. A few weeks ago, we had let you all know, anyone that's looking to engage in some spiritual conversations with your family, it could be with your spouse, it could be with your kids, as you're spending some time in the car together. We've got more. We had 20 of these a couple weeks ago. We ran out. We've got more. But wait, there's more. So if you would like one, they're going to be, I'm going to give these to Christina, and they're just going to be out at the, they're going to be out at the welcome table. You feel free, grab one, hang it on your rearview mirror, and when you're stopped at a stoplight or when you're driving down the road, grab it and chuck it at the passenger and say, hey, let's read these questions and talk amongst ourselves. So the other thing that I want to let you know, and we alluded to this when we had our business meeting a couple months ago, but sharing with you all now so that you'll be in the loop and you won't be, I guess you'd be early if we didn't share this with you, but beginning on Sunday, June 7th, so the first Sunday in June, we will be transitioning from our 8:30 service to a 9 a.m. service. So you get a little bit of extra time. I know some parents, like, that'll give you the opportunity. You can chug a coffee before you go, but so beginning on June 7th, 9 a.m., and feel free to show up at 8:30 or 8:45, depending upon which is your preference already, and you'll be early. I will say, the first person that shows up at 9:15, I am going to call you out. There's mercy, but there's also truth and justice. And so, if you have your Bible, I want to encourage you to turn with me to Luke chapter 8. This morning, we're coming to one of the most familiar passages of Jesus, the parable of the sower. And sometimes the familiarity of Scripture, it can sometimes keep us from feeling the full weight of what Jesus is saying. This isn't simply a story about farming. I know many of you were here yesterday, and we were sprucing the place up. Hey, if you were here, awesome, thank you. And if you weren't here, go out and enjoy it. It's beautiful. They did a phenomenal job outside and inside. And guys, just a heads up, the toilet down in James Hall is brand new, so it doesn't rattle anymore. But great job to everyone that showed up to help yesterday. Thank you so much. The place just looks that much more beautiful. So back to the parable of the sower. Oftentimes we just get like, yeah, I've heard this before. It talks about seeds, talks about where it falls, whatever. But this isn't simply a story about farming. It's a story about hearts. It's a story about what happens when the truth of God's word is spoken, and how different hearts respond, receive, react when the seed is planted. And if we're willing to listen honestly, this parable becomes deeply personal, because it forces every one of us to ask not what kind of soil someone else is, but what kind of soil we're becoming. One of the strange realities of life is that it's entirely possible to hear something without truly receiving it. Someone can be speaking directly to you, maybe your spouse, and like Huh? Does anyone else have that filter? I'm almost deaf in this ear, and so that's the excuse I always use. And Kim has learned I'm just going to stand over on this side. But someone can speak directly to you, and you don't hear a word that is spoken. Nothing really lands. It doesn't register deeply. It doesn't stick. It doesn't change anything. And sometimes that happens because we're distracted. Sometimes that happens because we're tired. Sometimes because we think we already know what's being said. And sometimes if we're honest, it's because our hearts simply are not open in that moment. And the same thing can happen the same thing can happen spiritually. We can hear scripture read. We can sit through a sermon. We can nod in agreement with biblical truth. If the guy up front or the girl up front says, "Can I get an amen?" We might hear that and go, "Amen," because other people around you are doing it too. But we can even feel moved emotionally by what we hear and still walk away unchanged. We can hear the word of God with our ears while never truly receiving it with our hearts. And that's the reality that Jesus is addressing in Luke chapter 8. By this point in his ministry, crowds are growing. People are starting to gather everywhere he goes. There's miracles. They want to see what's going on. People are drawn by curiosity, some because they're desperate for healing, some because they're intrigued by the words that he speaks, he's teaching. Some are skeptical. And so they also gather, and they watch him closely. They're waiting for a reason to dismiss him, or to trick him, or to catch him in something that doesn't jive with what they believe. Many are listening, but Jesus understands something that remains true today. Not everyone who hears the word truly receives the word. It's a sad truth. And not everyone who receives it allows it to take deep root and produce lasting fruit in their lives. So Jesus tells this parable to reveal the deeper spiritual reality beneath outward listening. He shows us why some hearts remain hard, why some respond quickly but maybe fall away when difficulty comes, why some begin well but then become crowded and distracted by life, and why some receive the word deeply enough that it transforms them from the inside out. At the heart of this teaching is a simple but powerful truth. True discipleship requires hearing, receiving, and acting on God's word. And that's what Jesus is after, not merely exposure to the truth. Like, I've been inoculated. I got my truth vaccine. Not being exposed to it, not simply listening, but responding. Not admiration from a distance. I love it when Jesus speaks. But it does nothing. Not admiration from a distance, but surrender that produces fruit. And so, as we begin this morning, I want to invite you into a posture of honest reflection before the Lord. Resist the temptation to think about how this message applies to the person beside you, or to someone else in your family, or your coworker. Resist that temptation. Don't let your mind drift towards a spouse, a friend, a child, a person you wish were here to hear this. Instead, I want you to ask the question personally and sincerely: what kind of soil is my heart? Because the seed is good. The word of God is living and active. God is still speaking. He's still sowing truth. He's still inviting us today to hear with our heart and receive him. And the question before us is whether our hearts are open enough for his word to take root, to grow deep, to bear fruit that lasts. So Jesus begins in verse 5, and he says this: "A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it, and some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell into good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. As he said these things, he called out, He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now, for the original audience, this would have been a familiar picture. A farmer walking through a field, scattering seed by hand. Yesterday, Dave, if he's here, Dave got to play Johnny Appleseed with grass seed after we threw down more loam out back. Like, just scattering the seed. And thank God it rained shortly after that so that there was a little water, because that needs to happen as well. But this farmer walking through, just scattering seed by hand, not placing it carefully one by one. Some of you, I know you do this. Like, I have 15 carrot seeds, and I know exactly where each one, and they're spaced evenly, and they're just lightly packed in. And, like, some of you are meticulous like that, and some of you are just chaos gardeners. Just seeds, let it grow. That's what this farmer was doing. He was just chaos gardening. He was scattering the seed, not placing it carefully one by one, but casting it broadly. And Jesus describes what happens. He says, some seed falls on the path, some seed falls on rocky ground, some falls among thorns, and some falls into good soil. Same sower, same seed, different outcomes. Now, verse 11 through 15 explains this a little bit more clearly. It says, now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. And the ones on the rock are the ones who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a while, and in a time of testing, fall away. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they're choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. So verse 11 says, now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. That's important. The seed is God's word. The seed is his word, the message of the kingdom, the truth of scripture, the gospel itself. And here's what we need to understand right away. The seed is never the problem. Never. There's nothing wrong with the word of God. It's living, it's active, it's powerful, it carries life within it. God's word has the ability to transform a life, to soften a heart, to bring conviction, to restore what's broken, to lead someone from death to life. The seed is good, always good. So the question is not, is God speaking? The question is, what's happening in me when he does? So there's four different types of soil. There's four different hearts that Jesus refers to. You start with the hardened heart. Jesus says in verse 12, the ones along the path are those who have heard, then the devil comes and takes the word from their hearts. The path is hard ground. It's been walked on. It's been pressed down. It's compacted. The seed can't penetrate the soil. It just sits on the surface. And before it has any chance to take root, it's gone. Whether the wind blows it away, whether animals come and eat, Jesus says this is what happens in a hardened heart, a heart that hears but doesn't receive. And there are many reasons a heart can become hard. Sometimes it's pride. I already know this. Sometimes it's hurt. Sometimes it's disappointment. Sometimes it's pain. Maybe even disappointment with God. And sometimes it's just repetition. Hearing truth again and again without responding until it stops affecting us. We become familiar with it, but not formed by it. And Jesus says something important here. The enemy comes and takes it away before it can take root. Friends, one of the greatest strategies is to keep truth from ever settling into your heart. If he can keep it shallow, if he can keep it external, if he can keep it from taking root, he can keep it from transforming you, from just stunting any opportunity for growth. And so we have to ask the question, Has my heart become hard? Am I hearing but not receiving? Because God is still speaking. But hardened ground doesn't allow his word to go deep. Next, we have the rock, which would be referenced as the shallow heart. Verse 13 says, and the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy, but these have no root. And so this is different. This isn't resistance. This is enthusiasm. They hear the word and they respond quickly. There's excitement. There's emotion. Anyone ever been there? I've been to, I was going to say hundreds, but dozens of kids camps and youth camps. I've been to many, many conferences. There's the guitar boomers that are just flailing away, and you get that emotional, like, I love Jesus. You get that high on the roller coaster, right? But then you get home, and life is still happening. For teenagers, they go to youth camp, and they're isolated from maybe they actually left their phone at home. And so they're not on Snapface all week long. And so they're disconnected, and so they have a time where it's me and Jesus and a bunch of Jesus friends. Crystal, who used to like be with us, she's down in North Carolina now. Crystal used to refer to youth camp as 1 week of punch you in the face, Jesus. And I hate that word picture because Jesus doesn't punch us in the face. Matter of fact, he tells us, like, when you do get punched in the face, like, turn the other cheek, right? But it's like a full-on onslaught of religiosity, of encouraging you, like, hey, go deeper in your faith. And when you're in that environment, it's easy to just, I'm rolling with the tide here. And so you're in that. But then you go home, and you're back on chapter book or whatever. You're in the socials and you're connecting with all your friends, and maybe you're back with your boyfriend or girlfriend or your boyfriends and girlfriends, and all of the pressure comes, and maybe home life isn't fantastic, and so even more so, like, all the pressure of life just comes back, and I had such an incredible week with Jesus, and now it's all gone. Like, I've just lost it. This is what Jesus is referring to. You've got the enthusiastic response to the word of God. And there's excitement and there's emotion and there's a sense that this is good, but there are no roots. And roots matter. Because roots are what sustain life when things get difficult. And Jesus says, they believe for a while, and in a time of testing, fall away. Testing will come. Testing will come. Testing will come. It could happen before you even leave this room today. Testing will come. That's not a question. Disappointment will come. Hardship will come. Moments where following Jesus becomes costly, those moments will come. And shallow faith cannot withstand deep trials. Let me say that again. Shallow faith cannot withstand deep trials. It looks strong in the beginning, but it doesn't last. And church, discipleship is not just about how you begin. It's about how you remain. Roots are formed over time, in prayer, in scripture, through deep work and obedience. It's quiet faithfulness when no one sees. That's where depth comes from. And so we have to ask the question, am I rooted or just reactive? Because there's a difference. And then Jesus goes on and he talks about the thorns, the crowded heart. Verse 14, and as for what fell among the thorns, they're choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life. So notice the language. They're not attacked, they're not rejected, they're choked, slowly. Failure to thrive, quietly over time. Life crowds out what matters most. Worry takes space. Busyness takes space. Pursuit of more takes space. Comfort takes space. Distraction takes space. And eventually, there's no room left. The word is still there, but it's being suffocated because of everything else that's clustered all around it. And it becomes unfruitful. This is one of the most common spiritual conditions in our world today. Not outright rejection of God, just a life so full that there's no space for him to truly shape it. We don't need more information. We don't need to take in more. We need more margin. We don't need more activities. We need more space. We need space to listen and space to pray and space to respond, because crowded hearts cannot produce lasting fruit. And so we ask this question: what is crowding out God's voice in my life? What is it? Ponder these things. And then Jesus gets to the good soil, the receptive heart. And he says this in verse 15. And this really should give us a picture of every follower of Christ. And it's what we should long for. He says, as for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. So in that one verse, Jesus gives a clear picture of true discipleship. It begins with truly hearing the word, with a heart that's open and receptive. But hearing alone is not enough, right? We've already covered that. Jesus says they hold it fast. They cling to it. They treasure it. They refuse to let it be stolen by distraction or hardship or temptation, competing voices of the world. God's word becomes the foundation that they build upon, and they hold it. The truth that they return to, the strength that they trust in every season, because they have come to know that his word is life, it's wisdom, it's hope. And Jesus says this, he says this word, in it's held in an honest and good heart. Speaking of a heart marked by humility and sincerity and an openness before God. Not a perfect heart, but a surrendered heart. One willing to be corrected and shaped and led wherever Jesus calls and leads. An honest heart comes before God and says, Lord, search me. Show me where I need to grow. Teach me your ways. Make me more like you. That kind of humility, it creates fertile ground where God's truth can take deep root and begin transforming a life from the inside out. I love that sound. The only thing that could make me more happy right now is if you tickled her and she started doing the baby giggle. So Jesus says they bear fruit with patience. And that matters because spiritual fruit grows slowly. We want instant growth, but the kingdom of God often grows quietly and steadily over time. Just as roots must take deep growth, and it takes a long time to get beneath the surface before fruit really appears on the branches. Ever try and grow an avocado? We did that many years ago. Grew that stupid thing. It was like this tall. We grew it, but it'll never bear fruit because we can never get it outside where the conditions, like the heat and the whatever. But we grew some great-looking leaves. Fruitless expedition. Don't bother trying. Like, it's a fun little experiment, and you can do it, and you can say, I did it. But you didn't do it because it didn't do what it needed to do in the end, right? An avocado tree that doesn't bear avocados is just a waste of space. Roots take long time to grow beneath the surface, and then the branches grow and leaves, and then the buds, and then fruit appears. Spiritual fruit develops through a faithful life of abiding in Christ, trusting him in joy and sorrow, in clarity and confusion, in strength and in weakness. Patient faithfulness is where lasting fruit is formed. And what is the fruit? It's the life of Christ becoming visible in us, love replacing selfishness, and joy becoming steady, peace anchoring us in storms, patience replacing frustration, kindness softening our words, faithfulness shaping our character, and obedience becoming more consistent. Fruit is not simply activity for God. It's the character of Christ formed within us. It's what happens when the word of God is not merely heard, but welcomed deeply and allowed to transform our lives. And this is what Jesus invites us toward, becoming good soil. Hearts that are receptive and rooted and responsive. Hearts that hear the word of God, hold tightly to it, and patiently allow God to produce the lasting fruit within our lives. And even when growth feels slow, God is still at work beneath the surface. Roots are forming and strength is developing and character is being shaped in quiet obedience. So don't grow weary in quiet, slow work that God is doing in your life. Stay planted, stay open, stay surrendered. Keep returning to his word and trusting his promises. In time, fruit will come, and your life will stand as living evidence of what God's word can produce in a heart that is fully yielded to him. Hearing leads to doing. But you've got to hear and hold tightly to it. Jesus brings everything that he's been teaching to a clear and unmistakable point in Luke 8:21. He says, "My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it." And this is a remarkable statement because Jesus is showing us that the clearest evidence of someone that belongs to him is not outward familiarity with religion and church attendance and Bible knowledge and simply saying, "I believe in Jesus." It's hearing his word, receiving his word, and living his word. That's what marks true discipleship. It's possible to be around the things of God without allowing the word of God to truly govern your life. It's possible to know Christian language, to speak the, "I've been washed in the blood, yes and amen, God is good, all the time, all the time, God is good." Like, we can recite all those sayings. It's possible to know all that, to hear sermons week after week and still remain unchanged. But hearing alone is not the goal. Transformation is the goal. Obedience is where truth becomes visible. And then James chapter 1, verse 22 says, "But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." So James reminds us that there's this kind of spiritual deception where we make the mistake of hearing truth but not living truth. We can say that sermon spoke to me, but if forgiveness is still withheld, bitterness is still nurtured, prayer is neglected, generosity is resisted, secret sin is protected, then the word has been heard but not obeyed. Jesus says, "Take care then how you hear." Because obedience is where discipleship becomes real. It's where roots deepen. It's where fruit grows. It's where faith moves from theory into life. And the good news is that God is not asking for perfection. He's just asking for surrender. Just to say, like, "I don't even know how to approach this, but God, show me, help me, teach me, He's looking for a heart that says, Lord, when you speak, I want to listen. And when I listen, I want to obey. And that obedience often looks ordinary. It's choosing patience. It's confessing sin. It's forgiving someone who hurt you. It's making space for prayer. It's opening scripture before other distractions come into life. It's serving when it's inconvenient. It's loving your neighbor well. It's trusting God deeply. These daily acts of obedience may seem small, and they are, but when you live them out, that's exactly where Christ is formed in us. See, discipleship is built on 1,000 quiet moments of saying, yes, Lord. And over time, that steady yes becomes fruitfulness and maturity and Christ-likeness. And this is what connects back to the parable. Good soil receives the seed and responds to it. The evidence of healthy soil is fruit. The evidence of true discipleship is a transformed life. So the question before us is, what has God been speaking to you that you have delayed obeying? Often the greatest breakthrough in our spiritual lives is waiting on the other side of simple obedience, the next faithful step. And imagine what God could do through a church marked by that kind of discipleship. Not merely hearers, but doers. Not merely informed, but transformed. Not merely gathering around Jesus, but becoming like Jesus. Homes would change. Marriages would strengthen. Hearts would heal. Neighbors would be loved well. Communities would be impacted. And the church would shine brightly because God's word is not just preached here. It's lived here. That's the call of Jesus. Hear the word, receive the word, and do the word. In doing so, we walk as true disciples. And so today, the sower is still sowing. Even right now, the word is being scattered and truth is being offered. And the question is not about the seed. The question is about the soil. And so let me ask you again, what kind of soil is your heart? Hard? Shallow? Crowded? Receptive? Here's the good news. No matter where you find yourself, God can transform the soil. He can soften what's hard. He can deepen what's shallow. He can clear what's crowded, but he invites you to respond. And so as we come to this moment, Jesus brings each of us to a place of personal response. The parable of the sower leaves no room for passive listening. We can't admire the wisdom of Jesus and walk away unchanged. His words press one honest question into our hearts. What kind of soil am I becoming? The seed is good. The word is God. It's living. It's active. It's powerful. And God is still speaking and still calling and still inviting hearts to receive his truth. So the question is not whether God is sowing seed, but whether our hearts are open enough to receive it, to hold fast to it, to respond in obedience. Each of us must answer before God honestly. What's happening in my heart when God speaks? What are the things that are happening? What's going on? What am I thinking? How am I feeling? For some, this is a moment to recognize that your heart has become hardened. Life has worn you down. Pain, disappointment, fear have created resistance where tenderness once lived. You may still listen outwardly, but inwardly your heart has grown guarded. Yet God is not finished with hardened ground. He's able to soften what has become calloused and break up what pain has packed down. It begins with honest surrender. Lord, soften my heart again. Make me tender toward your voice. For others, your roots might be shallow. There was once joy and hunger for God, but hardship or disappointment exposed just how fragile your foundation had become. Prayer has become inconsistent. Scripture has become occasional. Jesus is inviting you deeper, not into performance, but into rootedness. Deeper trust, deeper prayer, deeper dependence on Him, so that when storms do come, you remain steady and strong. And for many, the soil of your heart may just simply be so stinking crowded. The pace of life, the responsibilities, the distractions and worries have slowly choked spiritual fruit from growing in your life. You still love God, but there's little room for Him to shape you deeply. And Jesus calls you to clear space, to simplify, to make room again for prayer and for Scripture and for stillness and obedience. Sometimes breakthrough comes not from adding more, but by removing what crowds out what matters most. And for some, this may be a moment of first surrender. You've heard about Jesus, but never truly received Him. You hear the good news. Jesus is still calling. He's still forgiving. He's still welcoming those who come with surrendered hearts. And you come as you are, and He begins the transforming work within you. And today can be the day stop merely hearing about Jesus and begin truly following Him. And so for all of us, the one question remains: what has God been speaking to me that I've delayed obeying? What step of obedience is He placing before you today? True discipleship is hearing God's word, receiving it deeply, and walking it out faithfully. Imagine what God could do through people fully surrendered in that way. That's the invitation before us. Don't simply hear. Respond. Open your heart. Surrender afresh. Ask God to make your life fertile ground where His truth can take root and bear lasting fruit for His glory. Would you guys pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank You and we praise You. Lord, You are good. Your word is good. It is always good. The different conditions of our heart, the challenges that rise up, the environments we place ourselves in, the decisions that we make, the people we surround ourselves with, oftentimes each of those are contributing factors to the life that we live, whether in obedience or disobedience to Your word. God, would the optimal growing conditions be made within our hearts? Give us the strength and the courage to make choices of where we yield to You, so that in all things we may bear good fruit for Your glory, and that Your kingdom would expand and more people would come to know You as Savior as a result of the way we live our lives around them. So till the soil, Lord. Water us, fertilize us, prune us where we need, so that we may bear good fruit for Your kingdom and for Your glory. We pray that in Jesus' name. So the question remains, and it's for each of you to discern, to pray, to hear from the Lord. Hard, shallow, crowded, or receptive. May the Father give you peace. May He give you discernment and understanding. As you hear from Him, as you discern, as you determine, or as you just straight out know, no, I'm hard, I'm shallow, I'm crowded, I'm choked out by all the stuff going on in life. May the Lord give you the strength to put things down, to say no to things. May the Lord give you the conviction to pick up his word, to spend time reading through it, to pray, to worship, to sit quietly. May he strengthen you as you do. May you rise. May you serve him as you grow, as you become more and more the receptive soil. And as you do, may he be glorified. God bless you.